This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back hour number two, three-hour extravaganza. We call The Usual Suspects. One in a suspect move is at jury duty. We don't know what the latest status of Barry Laminack is. We know he had jury duty. We haven't heard from him since. We thought about putting his picture on the back of a milk carton, and then we thought again that that might just cause a whole second set of problems.
Yeah.
That we don't really feel like dealing
Something
with.
Tells me he's not getting out of this one, though.
I would probably tend to agree with you.
Yeah, I think he... if he did say something inappropriate, he should have done it already by now. And... Well, when can you say something inappropriate? Like, right when you get there, or do you have to wait till, like...
First of all, the process itself, just to before you get to the two lawyers going back and forth picking a jury, is so, like, they have no respect for time. You're going to wait and wait and wait and wait and then wait some more. And then when they finally get around to it, it's just such a long back and forth process that, yeah, even if they get to that point and then where he could say something inappropriate, it's probably taking more than half a day.
Yeah.
That definitely washes out today.
Yeah.
But I asked for people that have experience, that we know our listeners have answers to everything, what are the terms to be able to get out of jury duty? Someone said school is one. Someone else said that if they were living in Montgomery County and recently moved to Harris County and they were being summoned for jury duty in Montgomery
County,
they could get out.
School, I feel like, is an easy one.
That's an easy one as well. And then there's this from OU Mike. The courthouse is saying the only thing on today's docket is a case involving a comedian soliciting sex at a gay bar in Kansas. Not sure what that's about, he says.
Good old OU Mike.
Yeah, he called
always in, participate.
Called into Raheel and Dell's show, too.
Did he?
Yeah, I heard him do that. So, yeah, he's definitely flailing out there. So we'll see. Some people say he's faking it. He's out of jury duty. He's just playing you guys and didn't want to come in today. Okay, so be it. We'll figure that out as well. We have enough suspects out there that have eyes that they can track him down if we need to.
Got a caller who wants to talk a little Astros.
So, yeah, we haven't even got to the Astros side of things yet, but and the big Jose Altuve signing. But Eric wants to get in here. Eric, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for the shortest wait times in the business.
You're more than welcome.
Yeah, I have a quick question. I know they signed Altuve to either a 7-year deal.
7 years total, extension plus the two he's already got left on his deal. Yep.
So, I'm sure they're going to lock up Correa to have the second and shortstop. And since we have young outfielders coming up, I think after 2 years, I think Springer and Kako are leaving because I don't think they have enough to sign those players, especially with Boris as their agent.
Yeah, that doesn't help. Here's the biggest thing is that their focus is going to be on Correa and Altuve. I think Altuve was very, very kind in the fact that if he had hit the open market, I'm sure he could have gotten more, but he is very much committed to Houston. I'm not sure about the rest of those guys. We call them the core four, but you can throw Keuchel in there and make it five. Keuchel comes up at the end of this year. Then you're talking about Springer, which they tried to take care of with a little extra this year to try and make a goodwill gesture. But here's my thing. I don't think George Springer is going to forget the fact that the Astros did everything they could to keep him in the minor leagues as long as possible so that they could extend the amount of time that they had control of his contract. I think that he's going to want to get paid, and I think that being an East Coast guy, teams like the Red Sox, which he grew up following, are going to probably throw money at him. I think he's going to be one that's probably going to be hard to keep under the Astros umbrella. I think Correa is a guy that you're looking at, much like a Bryce Harper, that he wants to explore being that record-breaking contract. You know, everybody has said over and over again, the Yankees are just going to throw silly money at Machado, Bryce Harper, and Correa when the situation presents itself. So I think you got to worry about that. I think Bregman's a guy that probably can be happy and can be maintained here in Houston. But it's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out because if you listen to Jeff Luhnow, he said he is committed to keeping everybody that we just mentioned under contract and with the Astros for the long haul. There's an article out there already that Keuchel's going to be pursued by the Yankees and he'll be headed to New York in pinstripes after this season.
Yeah, but I think with Springer, I think with the young outfielders that we have coming up like Tucker, I think he's expendable. I mean, I don't want to say that, but outfielders that we have in the farm system.
I see that, but here's the thing. And let's not forget the fact that George Springer put up monster numbers in his career this last season. He really had a coming out party. Well, it remains to be seen if he's going to be able to maintain those kind of numbers and that batting average and do the things that he did. We know he's a great defensive outfielder. We also don't know what we're getting from Derek Fisher yet because of the fact that it's kind of a small sample size. It's a Brock Osweiler, if you will. We know that he's got a pretty swing. We know he's got a lot of tools. He's got speed because he scored in the playoffs and when they needed him. But overall, when he first got to the majors, after a couple of quick, successful home runs, he struggled. And it's going to be, you know, this is going to be a very telling sign for the Astros and what they want to do in the future, how he plays this season.
Yeah, but like I said, I mean, well, it just depends on what Springer does in the next 2 years also. If it's a monster number, then I think they'll do everything to keep him. But with Tucker, Sher, and Kemp out there, it's kind of going to be hard if he puts up less than average, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, look, and we appreciate the call, Eric. I don't think Kemp is a guy that anybody is banking on to do anything other than what you've seen is what you got. He's not going to hit for power. He's not going to hit for all that much average. Yeah, he's versatile, and he's a utility-type player. I just think that you're looking at a guy in George Springer that if he has another breakout year, of the four guys, the first one to go, it's going to be how much does Correa want to give them a hometown discount and wrap it up early, or does he want to play the market? And if he does, the Astros are going to have a lot of work on their hands if Lunau and the gang Jim Crane want to live up to what they're saying that they want to do and keep all these guys under the Astros contract.
All right, here's the audio that you were referring to on Lunau and McCrane being committed to extending their best players.
We'd love to keep all the guys I'm looking at here for their entire careers. We're going to do, Jim is committed to keeping the best team on the field for as long as possible and giving us a chance to win multiple championships, and part of that is developing our own players and keeping our own players and bringing in the right types of players, and we've done that. We'll see what the future holds, but we certainly have a desire and an intention to keep our core together as long as possible.
I think he, after that, was going to go to Walmart and start making announcements on the loudspeaker based on how that sounded.
I mean, that's the only promise he could make with, you know, teams spending the kind of money, you know, the crazy money that's in baseball these days. That's the only answer he could give out right now. I mean, at least they got Altuve wrapped up now. It's just going to take some time and some serious strategic thinking.
It's one of those easier said than done. You're saying all the right things because you know that you're not going to be Drayton McClain and you're not going to be cheap and you're not going to make the wrong decisions. But at the same time, easy to say it, not going to be easy to do it when you talk about how much money is going to be kicked around. I think, like, from a Keuchel perspective, I think he's gone. I think after this year, get everything you can for him and just either realize he's gone and go one more run hard out with the rotation you have and then realize he's going to walk. He's had injury problems. He doesn't throw hard. And, you know, he's a little bit older. I don't think that that's someone that they're going to throw a lot of money at. That's why they went and got Gerrit Cole. That's why they still have seven starters they can turn to. So I'm not worried about Keuchel. It's that core four that you'd really love to keep together because that means if you keep those four guys together for the long haul, you're probably going to have multiple opportunities to win another World Series. It's just going to be so hard. And as the caller mentioned, Eric made a great point. With Scott Boras as an agent for some of those guys, he's not giving anybody discounts.
Right. And at least for now, the Altuve signing, and Altuve mentions this in the presser, it keeps from it being a distraction during the season. So at least you got one of them signed. So, I mean, that's one positive to look at if you're an Astros fan.
No doubt. And he's still finishing the last 2 years of his existing deal. So you're getting him on the cheap still, and then you're going to pay him, which he absolutely deserves after that point. So, yeah, good to have him in the fold. And for the next 7 years, that's going to be a great deal. It's just going to see, you know, the interesting thing is how aggressive they will be in trying to wrap up Correa before he comes up. And then, you know, Springer is going to have a couple years of arbitration. He's going to get paid regardless if they try and see how willing George is going to be to try and get something
done. So the next easiest player to sign in your mind would be Correa, if you had to guess?
Not easiest. No, I think that he's a guy that it depends. I mean, he loves Altuve. He seems to love Houston. I think his fiance's from here, so I think those are all great tie-ins. And then depending on if he wants to keep it together and wants to get it done before he actually becomes a free agent, that's great. I think Springer's the guy that with the East Coast ties, the Red Sox, everything like, and the way that the previous regimes and everybody with the Astros handled him coming up, I think he might be harder to keep in the fold. So we'll see.
Cool deal.
All right, we'll continue to roll on. It's the usual suspects. It's Nick and Joel as Barry's on jury duty. Tyler's come in, so Nick can actually come in the studio and breathe a little too. We're going to get through this show today and then figure out if Barry got selected or if he was just kicking it on the farm and decided to take a day off. But right now, I'm going to tell you about my good friends at Gallery Furniture. I've been telling you about them for quite a while. I get all my furniture at Gallery for a lot of simple reasons. You're going to get quality furniture. When you buy it, you're going to get it at a reasonable price. And it's competitive with all our furniture stores in the market. But more importantly, when you buy it, it's going to last. The furniture that you buy is going to have a long life expectancy. And if anything ever pops up that goes wrong with it, when you call them, they are really good about taking care of stuff and fixing things because they believe in customer service after the sale. Mac's been in Houston a long time. You're going to be in Houston a long time. Why not go to a place that has ties to the Houston area that's committed to taking care of those in H-Town? That's the way Mac does business. He always had the mainstay, I-45 North exit Tidwell Parker both ways. But because of a convenience factor for the people in the city, he also created a Gallery Furniture on Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland and one in the Galleria right across from Dillard's on Post Oak, just so that you guys can reach out to Gallery Furniture quicker and easier and get in and get out and get what you need from a furniture perspective. That means everything they say they're going to do. That means no back order slips. You buy today, you get it tonight. If when they deliver it, you need the furniture moved out or furniture moved around the house and rearranged, they'll do all those things for you because they want you to keep coming back to Gallery. And with brands like Stickley and great leather and upholstered furniture, all American made, they're going to give you those lasting results that make you believe that you're going to the right spot every time in Gallery Furniture. Also, that Astros promotion we were talking Astros is still on the books for another year. That means you buy $3,000 or more with a bedroom furniture and Tempur-Pedic mattresses, and if the Astros win it all at the end of the year, you get it all free. That's the way Mac does business. Check them out at one of the three locations, and believe what Mac says, Gallery really will save you money.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome, Tyler Scott, as the producer T. Scott joins the fray from his condominium down the hall where he lives here at the station, and we appreciate him.
Tyler does really live here.
He really does. And so we appreciate Tyler stepping in to split help shifts. Because we have no idea. No one's found the right milk carton with Barry's picture on the back of it. We don't know if he's okay or not. We just know he said jury duty.
There's nothing he can say or do at this point. What time is it? 2:15?
Yeah, around there, yeah.
So Tyler went to see Chris Stapleton perform.
Oh, yeah?
And I really wanted to see him live because apparently everybody really likes to see Chris Stapleton live. He's just as good on the stage as he is in the studio. Did you enjoy it?
I don't remember much of it, honestly.
I wouldn't have either.
You indulged.
Yeah.
Now, I've also heard that Chris Stapleton can bring some scenery in the mix. That I would think you'd remember.
Yeah, I mean, I had my head on a swivel that night. It was there was some talent.
Now they say that Garth put on a hell of a show again last night and broke the record for any night at the rodeo, closing it all out.
He did put on a pretty good show.
Did you go last night?
I went last night too. Yeah,
he got 77,000.
I don't think he's ever gonna break the actual attendance record, because George Strait did that.
Well, what I heard this morning, reports were that he broke the record last night.
Really?
Yeah.
I just don't know that that's like actually possible, because George Strait actually filled out the entire bottom portion, like where they actually hold the rodeo.
So the floor of the rodeo.
That was like seating area for Strait, but it like maybe for the actual rodeo.
We can try and look that up. But as far as I heard on the news this morning, that broke the record and they were running it on the crawl. So we'll have to find out if that's actually accurate or not. But the rodeo already over. I mean, they say time flies, but holy cow, 3 weeks of rodeo went by awfully quick.
Yeah, I feel like I really regret, you know, because Tyler said text me if you wanted to join, and I didn't. I really regret it because I totally forgot that was the last weekend, right? That's it. The rodeo's pretty much over? Or is there one more weekend?
It's done. That's it.
Yeah, so I was pretty upset because I did Chris Stapleton would be the one.
What
one
is
of,
with you? How what? Did that happen?
I don't know. It just happened all of a sudden.
You had no inkling of anything country music. Then it was Hootie and the Blowfish when he became Darius Rucker.
I'm listening to John Party now.
What is going on?
Yeah, I got
you?
A bunch of guys that I'm listening to now. Spotify gives it like easy access.
Have you been to Cavender's? Do you have your boots and hat picked out?
I was tempted. Remember, there was a store right next door to the license. Remember when I lost my driver's license?
Yes.
There was like a store right next to the driver's license office over by Rosenberg. And I was tempted to get my first pair of boots. And I will get my first pair of boots eventually. No question.
Kyle, do you partake in boots and buckles and hats and things?
I mean, the boots?
I have boots. I look weird in cowboy hats, so I don't really wear them.
You wear a hat every day. How could it look weird with a cowboy hat?
Well, he wears a cap.
It's right. You wear a baseball hat every day, but
a baseball hat though.
Well, did you buy it at the Quick Trip or did I mean?
No,
at this,
they're like.
Or did you buy it at a real hat store?
Cowboy hats, yeah.
Okay.
How much did you drop on your boots? Because I'm trying to look for some.
Jeez, I've got a couple pair. They're probably
ostrich
$200-$300 range.
Yeah, I figured if you're going to get some decent boots, it has to be between $200 and $300.
Yeah, what is the going rate for boots? Like ostrich, everybody says you got to have ostrich boots. Well, ostrich boots, what do those cost?
Maybe $500 to $600.
Wow.
Ooh, baby.
Although I did see a pair at the mall for $150, and I don't know if I was willing to drop the $150 because I was afraid they were just bad boots.
There's a Payless at the mall, Nick.
Well, there's a couple other stores. I've seen the Payless. I've never been, just so you know, for the record.
Okay. All right. That's no payment.
But yeah, I mean, I will eventually drop some money on some boots, but not quite yet.
All right, so we'll continue to talk news of the day. Tyronn Lue taking some time off over health issues with the Cavaliers. He will not be taking the Cavalier ship down the final stretches of the regular
Scary
season.
Situation, man.
Yeah, so he's had some health issues. Larry Drew's going to take over in the short term. Orlando Scandrick has left the Cowboys, and one of the two places he could go, or three places that would really tick off Cowboy fans, the Redskins would be one of them. Looks like he's signing there. Penny Hardaway to be the new coach at Memphis, as the rumors were true. And we still have to get to the Rockets. So without further ado, before we get to all that Rockets talk, Chuck wants to get in here on the Cougs and the Rockets. Chuck, what's up, man?
What's going on, fellas?
What's up, my man?
Oh, man, nothing much. Hey, I just got a couple questions. I know you just covered it about that defense Kelvin Sampson used at the end of that game, but I really don't want to start mainlining heroin again. So I need to know, man, are the Rockets going to disappoint me as bad as that play? Because I really think they're looking good, Joel, and please tell me I'm wrong. Thank you.
Boy, that was an OU Mike exit,
total
too.
OU Mike exit, totally.
Nick, you can chime in, too. I mean, my big thing is kind of like along the lines of the kind of precursor I gave Rockets fans a year ago. Enjoy the regular season. Enjoy the ride. They're much improved because of not just Chris Paul, but because of the three guys they added, and even more so, Gerald Green, the kind of insurance policies. They're deeper. They're definitely better on defense. But until they prove it in the postseason, I got to say there's a chance, Chuck. I'm not going to say, you know, I don't want to lie to you. So I think that, look, they're in a very good position. They basically all but wrapped up the one seed, the best record in the league. But as even on that front, you've spent an entire regular season working to get that number one seed. It can all be gone in one game. Yeah. One game where you get a game like that happened against the Spurs last year where Harden disappears, even though Kawhi's not playing. One game where Golden State comes to your gym and gets one of the first two, it's completely script flipped and you're on the defensive. So I'm not going to guarantee that they're going to the finals or winning it all. They're in the best position they can possibly be. Now, Chris Paul, a guy that's never been to the Western Conference Finals. James Harden, a guy that's never been through them with a win in the Western Conference Finals. It's on them.
Yeah, and Mike D'Antoni has admitted that multiple times this season. It's their job to prove that they're the better team than the Golden State Warriors in the Western Conference. So they have to prove. But to answer Chuck's question, in the event that they do get bounced, it's not going to be as bitter as that UH loss. It's not going to be, I don't think it's going to be like on a shot like that. I think if they're going to lose, they're going to lose definitively, not necessarily bad, but it's going to be a definitive loss. Hopefully they get past. I mean, we've kind of talked about this before. I don't know where fans stand on this. Is the Western Conference Finals enough? Is the finals enough for you, or a championship is the absolute minimum for you if you're a Rockets fan? I mean, this team has been there together. It's hard to say. I've been on record, and I said if they get bounced in the Western Conference Finals, yes, I would be upset, But I don't know if you can expect more than that, considering they've only been together for one season. I know, Joel, you know, you have different thoughts.
Here's
on
my thing. If they get bounced quickly, like swept or in a five-game series with Golden State, I'd be a little disappointed.
Okay.
But other than that, Chris Paul's first year here, first year with all these guys together. They've obviously exceeded expectations in terms of everybody said, well, there's going to be fighting and there's going to be like a power struggle. None of that has happened. They're going to break the franchise record for regular season wins. All they got to do is win two more in the final, dozen games. All that's going to be great.
Right.
It just depends on how they go out. Now, if you can lock up Chris Paul for the next couple of years and you keep this roster intact, you keep Capella, look, it's just the beginning of what should be a very fun run for the next 3-4 years. But I'm sure that there's going to be, a lot of people that have high expectations that are going to be really crushed if they don't get to the finals or win it all this year.
Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be some upset fans. I mean, I don't know how realistic you can be in this situation considering everything that they gave up to get Chris Paul. Of course, they did a good job replenishing the role players and doing a good job with that. The only thing I haven't kept up with, Joel, maybe you have been or not, but James Harden, his hand has been bothering him.
Yeah, he heard it last night, and it's going to be interesting to see. Because
well, they were putting ice on it in the last home game that I went to, too.
He didn't use it for a while after he hit it, and then he came back and finished the game off, and he was using it again. It looked like a wrist more than a hand. Look, that's something we know what has been going on across the league with injuries, and we know how important those can be. Golden State, look, they lost to Sacramento the other night because they're now got Durant with cracked ribs. You got Steph with his ankle. You got Klay Thompson with his thumb. Draymond Green's even a little dinged up. They're just going to basically say, look, yeah, you got us in the regular season. We're waiting to do this for when it counts in the playoffs, and we'll take our chances. That may work, that may not, but at the same time, look at what Minnesota's going through without Jimmy Butler. Look at what San Antonio's doing without Kawhi Leonard. Injuries are huge, and especially at this time of the year, you can't really afford to have them, so it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. Look, the Rockets own Minnesota. If that's the third best team in the West, it is going to come down to the Rockets.
And then the Minnesota, they're one of, four teams with 40 wins in the Western Conference standings right now. Anything can happen and completely change that things up. That's probably why Alvin Gentry was so upset.
We need to get to that, too. Doc Rivers first and then Alvin Gentry already starting to kind of set the stage for some pressure on the league office as to how they're going to call James Harden and the Rockets going into the playoffs. So that'll be interesting to see. Speaking of the Rockets, by the way, season tickets now on sale for next year. And because of what we just said, because, they're going to be hot, they're probably going to be competitive for the next 3 years competing for a title. Here's a great deal for you. Only on club seats, but season tickets available in the club seat sections now. And if you lock in a 3-year deal, your prices will not go up for the next 3 years. They will not go up. They can't increase it because they go out and get another free agent. They can't increase it because they make some kind of a quirky deal because the revenues are streaming in. You lock in, you get the same price for all 3 seasons. One price covers all 3 years, and they can't raise the prices on you. It is a great deal. And on top of that, you lock in with that deal, and you get first priority for playoff tickets. We know those are going to be a hot commodity. Right now, as they head down the stretch, tickets are just absolutely impossible to come by. Well, now you can lock in playoff tickets and get your tickets without having to stand in line or flip a coin and hope you win a lottery. That's all taken care of. It's a 3-year VIP plan offered for club seats only. Other price levels are available for other season tickets, but that doesn't include that 3-year locked-in price that this deal does. So call 713-627-DUNK get on rockets.com and check out all the ticket options. Either way, a ticket representative is going to be in contact with you. They're going to work you through how you can get the deal and all the different ways that they can help you get those seats locked in and get playoff tickets for this year, and then you'll be set for the next 3. Check them out, rockets.com or 713-627-DUNK. Or I might blast. He got scared and hit the gas. We tried to catch him, but you all know you can't catch a 5.0. So ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Oh, the good news is flowing, as it is Nick and Joel, and we are trying to find Barry as we continue to roll on. He's at jury duty, but the show does what it does, and it's going to do what it do, and we are all thankful for you because the show is doing well, and we appreciate you as ratings have just come in. But with all that being said, the reason why we do what we do is because we want to keep it interesting for you. So with everything going on with the NCAA tournament, we have a guest for you that can maybe shed a little light as to what's going on. I'm sure your brackets may be a little bit twisted and busted, but a man that has some perspective, Jerry Palm, joins us right now. You can follow him at JP Palm CBS. If you want to have a great follow in the who's who and what's what with basketball, he is CBSSports.com. Jerry, thanks for spending some time with us.
How's it going?
Good, man. How you doing? I mean, have you ever seen a tournament like this before? We talked about the fact that everybody said, not in our lifetime are we ever going to see a 16 beat a 1. But not only did we see that, but was it yesterday alone we saw a 1, 2 twos, and a 3 drop out? The brackets are busted all over the place, but it sure does make for some compelling watching when you're checking the tournament on a night-in, night-out basis.
Yeah, well, the 16 beating a 1, I mean, you never really are going to predict it, right? Because, I mean, how would you really think that that's possible? It's going to take some sort of special thing to happen, and that's basically what happened. UMBC had a great game plan. They executed it at the highest level they possibly could. They got Virginia out of what they do, got them to lose their discipline, which almost never happens, and it worked out for them. But the other thing that happened in this tournament that we have never seen before that's actually related to that is we have a region now, the South region, where you have a Sweet 16 with none of the top four seeds. That has never happened
before. That's crazy.
You said a 1, 2 twos, and a 3 went out yesterday. They didn't just go out. They went out in spectacular fashion with Nevada coming back from 22 down to beat Cincinnati, with Florida State coming back from 12 down late to beat Xavier. North Carolina getting run out of a gym in North Carolina, which almost never happened. And Michigan State shooting the basketball like it was a medicine ball against Syracuse. Was that ugly. That game set basketball back 50 years.
All right, Jerry, so I was reading your piece. 15 games where the lower seed has won. The record is 23. That was set back in 1999. So what, 18 or 19 years ago? How many more games do you expect to see with a bunch of upsets? Or upsets at all?
Well, you might see a few. I think that, I mean, certainly when you're talking about the lower seed winning, I mean, you've got a Texas Tech-Purdue game that's a 2-3. I mean, that's a toss-up. But if the 3 wins, you know, that's technically the lower seed. You know, I don't know how much of that you're going to see left now. I think Texas A&M has got a pretty good chance to make a little noise still, because that's a team, you know, that dominated college basketball early. Got off to that 11-1 start and looked like, you know, the favorite in the SEC, and, you know, an early contender for to be a top 10 team for the whole season. And then they fell apart with roster issues, suspensions, and injuries. And now they've got it all put back together. Looks like they found a replacement point guard who's playing pretty well, and, you know, looking a lot more like that team we saw in November and December than the one we saw in January and February. And if they keep playing like that, you know, they may get a chance to play in Texas again.
Well, they handled West Virginia early in the season in one of those tournament games you were talking about, and looked like they were gangbusters. And then, just like you said, the wheels fell off for a while, but they've got it back. I want to talk to you about the University of Houston Cougars, because Nick's an alum. Obviously, the city was abuzz. Kelvin Sampson did what he said he was going to do, put him back on the map, got him back in the tournament. They won their opening round game, but for all intents and purposes, they had that game won against Michigan. But just to get your take from an outsider's perspective outside of the Houston area on what went down and what's the future like for the Cougs?
Well, I mean, it was, you know, the kid misses a couple of free throws, opens the door, Michigan hits basically a miracle shot, and that's the NCAA tournament for you. You know, that's what happened. It happened to Tennessee a little bit. It happened in Loyola's first game against Miami. I mean, that just happened. But, you know, it doesn't really diminish the accomplishment of this season for Houston. You know, that they had a terrific year, ended up in the top 25 at the end. I mean, a 6th seed from the committee, that's the top 25 ranking. And, you know, everything is projecting up for the University of Houston right now. So
if that's what Kelvin Sampson promised, he is definitely living up to that promise.
But what do you do if you're Kelvin Sampson right now? I mean, what do you think in terms of woulda, shoulda, coulda? Should they have more pressure?
You can't just dwell on that. It's the nature of the tournament. I mean, you're upset about it because you want to win and you want to keep going, but you know, that's a few days ago now, and it's time to look forward and not backwards. And you just you build for next year and hope to get, you know, have a better season, a better seed, and maybe a better run.
All right, let's look at the rest of the tournament, Jerry. Let's talk about this. How's your bracket? Did you, as a prognosticator, did you see any of this happening? How's your Final Four look? And then just overall, from putting it all into perspective, who has the best chance going forward? Duke's still alive at two as a two seed, but we know that they don't play a whole lot of defense. They do have some talent on offense. Villanova's a team that, much like you were talking about with A&M, but even on a bigger stage, was a team that was a heavy favorite early in the season. They kind of had a lull, and now they look like they might be in the driver's seat.
Yeah, well, because, you know, I'm a professional, my bracket is perfect, and it is perfect because I get to change all my picks as they go bad.
Cheater.
I had Arizona in the final game. So I changed that one because I decided I didn't like that after they lost.
I was with
I do have my original champion, Duke, is still alive. So I feel pretty good about that. But, yeah, I had Arizona in the final game, and, of course, they went out early. I certainly didn't have Virginia losing to NBC. In fact, I don't think anybody has anything resembling I think other than – unless you're a Kentucky fan, you probably don't have much left in your bracket in the South region. I had North Carolina and A&M annihilated them. So I still have two of my Final Four. I have Purdue, but that was before Isaac Haas got hurt.
Right.
And I think that, you know, healthy Purdue would have a shot at Villanova. No Isaac Haas, and you probably are going to have a really special game from everybody else to have a shot at Villanova, and that's if you get by Texas Tech, who's a pretty good team also. But I think, you know, Duke is the most talented team in the tournament. They were at the beginning. They're playing extremely well, so I'm sticking with them.
Okay.
Hey, Jerry, we like to pick on Charles Barkley every now and then. And speaking of brackets, where are you in terms of his focus and his knowledge of this year's tournament?
You know, Charles is an NBA guy, and he knows a lot about basketball, but he doesn't follow college basketball until probably the day before the selection show. And so it's, you know, it's no surprise. I mean, he's entertaining, I guess, and you know, if he's analyzing a game that he's watching, that's great. He can certainly do that. But he's not a guy who's going to know a lot about, you know, these teams and these players because from having watched over the course of the season, because that's not his job.
Well, and I think the other thing is, too, he's on there for the entertainment value. When you know that you got guys like Clark Kellogg and other guys that know the sport inside and out and can give you that kind of expert analysis, you realize that he's on there just to kind of get viewers because of the fact that he's such a loose cannon.
I think somebody posted on Twitter that his bracket was a crime scene, which...
That's what I saw. I saw you quote-tweeted. That's the reason why I asked.
Yeah, it's... of course, I think pretty much everybody is at this point.
And, of course, his I wouldn't even say... I guess he went there, so we have to say his alma mater. Not that we knew he didn't graduate there, but Auburn took it in the shorts pretty hard, too, so he's...
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, he's done,
that, too. That was bad. Yeah. That was... I mean, I know Auburn's not the same without Macklemore, but my gosh.
Yeah, that was embarrassing.
That was pretty brutal.
No doubt about it. Jerry, we know you're busy, especially this time of year, but we do appreciate you spending some time with us. And as I said to everybody out there, if you want a great follow for college basketball, check him out at JP Palm CBS. He writes for CBSSports.com, so check him out with his articles there as well. But Jerry Palm, thanks for spending
some
time
Jerry.
With us.
Thank you, Jerry.
All right, thanks.
There you have it, Jerry Palm, as we get a little basketball, college basketball talk, just because all you people love it so much. And we'll continue to roll on. We got some Rockets to get to. We got some Astros to talk about. Lots of stuff to get to. And, of course, if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, give us a call. 713-780-3776.
Looks like Barry's out.
He did not get selected. Barry will be back. Yeah, he's out. So, Barry, listen and learn. More of the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
To the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, baseball fans, we know and we've talked about Altuve's extension. He is under contract, but the Stros are still in spring training. Well, I got an idea for you. Hey, the Owls over at Rice University are playing some baseball. They are always in the discussion when you talk about trips to the College World Series and a chance to win a national title. And oh, by the way, the Fighting Texas Aggies are coming to town. Texas A&M baseball comes to town to take on Rice tomorrow, March the 20th. 6:30 p.m. Don't miss the opportunity to see two of the premier college baseball programs in the country facing off at beautiful Reckling Park. Tickets starting as low as $12. For single game ticket information, call 713-348-OWLS or visit riceowls.com/BSB as in baseball tickets, T-I-X, and check them out. But I'm telling you, Reckling Park is a great park, beautiful, great backdrop with the medical center. Nice place to watch some baseball, and you see some pretty competitive games with some top-ranked talent.
So real quick, because I know we're going to talk some Rockets, and I know we're probably going to move on from college hoops, at least for now.
Yep.
Did you see Little Caesars put out that tweet and that promotion?
I missed it, but you were telling me about it. It's a great deal. I mean,
so with a number 16 beating a number 1, everyone in America, not just in the city of Houston, but in America, gets a free Little Caesars lunch combo on Monday, April 2nd. Now,
Tyler, are you taking note of this?
Good move or bad move?
I don't know. Little Caesars is all right.
It's free, Tyler.
Yeah, I might do it.
But for the whole country. The whole country. Every Little Caesar location.
Like, I'm sure they somewhat planned for this simply because of the fact that Taco Bell does it during the playoffs in baseball with the stolen base on the road and then everybody gets tacos.
You think they were depending on that not happening?
Oh, sure. It's a risk-reward thing, and the risk is far worth it based on the rewards given. The chances are not likely that happens, but because it did, hey, it's cash. When I grew up in Milwaukee, there was a hamburger chain called George Webb's. And George Webb said if the Brewers ever won 12 games in a row, everybody got free hamburgers. And it was like, I think, as much as you can eat in a sitting.
Wow.
And at one point, year after year after year, they got close. They never did it. And at one point, one year, they got them.
Well, I don't know I just don't know how you feel. I mean, Little Caesars is a big chain. I guess it's been around since I was a child. I don't know how long it's been around.
But
it's been around for a while. And for those of you who don't know what a lunch combo is, because I didn't. When I rarely go to Little Caesars, I go and get the little $5.
You know what the kid combo is. You just don't know what the lunch combo is.
Yeah, it's four slices of deep dish pizza with pepperoni, and it comes with a 20-ounce Pepsi or Cola. So
that's a great deal.
Yeah. That's what the lunch. So for those of you who are college basketball fans and were actually paying attention to the bracket and now know about this Little Caesars deal.
Get on it.
April 2nd.
We are people of the people.
Free pub for Little Caesars.
Can you imagine Trey knocking the bottom out of that deep dish deal? Look out.
Little Caesars was the one that had the pizza that was like wrapped in bacon, right?
I don't know.
That's a good question. I've never had it, so I wouldn't be able to tell you.
Honestly, it's not great pizza.
No, it's not. It's no Falbo Brothers by any stretch of the imagination.
Right, but I'm saying of the major kind of mass-produced pizza, Domino's has tried to change their image and get better, but I would go Pizza Hut 1, Domino's 2, and then either Papa John's or Little Caesars. But, I mean, I think Little Caesars is 4th.
Yeah, it's been a while since I had some good Domino's. I'm not going to lie to you. But I haven't tried the one by my house. I used to always go to the one in the city of Bel Air where I used to work. But I haven't had Domino's in years, man. I can't remember the last time.
You see the commercials, they're like taking sledgehammers to the old shops and redoing everything to make it better pizza and better environment. Okay. And that, I do like think it's a great deal. Like if you take the pizza home and something happens to it, you get another one. They're even guaranteeing
that guarantee.
Yeah, but it's also probably because sales aren't very good and they're trying to do things for the
people. I had some recently, and the only reason why I got it was because on Netflix, there's this like food documentary.
Okay.
And this guy basically, he wanted to know about like the history of pizza, and he goes to a local shop and he goes to the two famous ones that are in Connecticut or whatever. And then he like goes on a training run with a Domino's delivery guy. I was like, I'm going to get some Domino's right now. And it was all right, but it wasn't like...
Yeah. I think a part of it. Special. I think a part of it is that all these chains were forced to expand their menu and do wings and do all kinds of other things, and it took away from the pizza and how to make it properly, or they just didn't evolve.
Well, they all try and like streamline their process. So like Domino's, they'll legitimately make the pizza before it goes in the oven in like 30 seconds.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Now, did you see this other gimmick, too? Is it called thousand degree pizza? And they got them on Our Way, Nick, in Sugarland now. But they're saying, like, with the 1,000-degree heated oven, it only takes, like, literally a few minutes, and the pizza's completely baked?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
That'd even more speed up the process?
Super efficient, for sure.
But those are, like, legit pizza ovens that they put the pizza in, they just let it go for, like, a minute and a half, and then they pull it out. But, like, the Domino's one, it's like a conveyor belt.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So it takes a bit longer.
Yeah.
Probably a lot longer. Yeah, that makes more sense. And I feel like that's kind of the standard. I'm sure that whoever does have that type of oven where you can only do it in a minute or a minute and a half, that's got to be a pretty penny to afford. So,
well, I don't know. But, I mean, like, you know, like LeBron has no pun intended, but LeBron has a slice of Blaze pizza. And LeBron made like 29, 30 million already in the investment because that's taken off. But I think you're seeing a changing of the guard, and just like fast food, I mean, the mass-produced burgers and fries used to be a thing. Now it's people are looking for the fresh, like Fable Brothers, like you were saying, fresher ingredients, you know, better
really
pizza
good
ovens. You know, and the same thing with burgers. The way Whataburger has maintained is the fact we don't make them till you order it.
Right.
That has value now.
Oh, no question. And I can eat Whataburger a lot. I actually eat it way too much. The one by my house is probably one of the better Whataburgers that I've ever been to, honestly. But yeah, I mean, the wait till you order, you know, wait till they make until you order. I love that dynamic. But if you can do it efficiently and still make it only when the customer asks for it, I mean, that's just going to change the game for sure. No question.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So we'll continue to roll on. We got Rockets to talk about. We got the game itself, but more importantly, the game within the game and then the aftermath after the game. Nice little move by Gerald Green. We know and we said in the past that D'Antoni was probably a little critical of him getting involved in Clippergate in the back tunnel, so to speak. Don't get sexual. But at the same time, another one last night, and I honestly liked it. I like what he did. I like what Chris Paul said after. And I like the fact that that has been an element that we have talked about on this show that has been missing from this Rockets team. Another reason why you should like where this Rockets team is going. Don't go anywhere. 2 hours in the books. 1 hour still to go. It is the usual suspects with 60 minutes still in the flow. Don't go anywhere. Right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.